Ladies and gentlemen, you are now entering the Decent Christian Talk podcast. Enjoy.
Decent Christian Talk, episode number 103. 103. What's up, everybody? I'm Gabe Jones.
I am Josiah.
And this is a show that's by the fans.
For the fans. Oh, man.
Sorry, I messed that up.
Okay, for the fans. For the fans. We're by you and for you is the point, I guess, we're trying to make here.
Yeah, and we got a great show for you today. We are going to be talking more about audio adrenaline today. Our last show had an interview with lead vocalist Mark Stewart. And today we're going to be going further in depth with the audio adrenaline catalog, specifically the audio adrenaline catalog with Mark Stewart.
Yes. So if you're part of our Facebook group, Gabe put up a poll.
Yes.
And he said, who would you like to hear us go in depth about? And Kevin Max took our poll and fixed it.
So we will have that for you.
That's in the future. If you're listening,
future episode.
It's in the future.
And
we're putting the round table together as we speak.
We are booking that. And that will be coming later this month, probably.
Hopefully. Today
we're gonna be starting kind of that whole, I don't know, this is something that we're gonna be trying, kind of diving into some bands, catalogs, and giving our thoughts on them and ranking them, how we feel they stack up against each other.
And who hasn't done this a million times?
Yeah, I mean, it's fun to do, and, you know, hey, why not?
Yes, exactly.
So before we dive into that, let's talk about our Patreon page. That's patreon.com/decentchristiantalk. And for as low as $1 a month, you can support our show. Keep us on the air. It helps us pay our bills, and we would greatly appreciate you considering that. That really helps us out a lot. We'd like to thank everybody that does that already. But again, head on over to patreon.com/decentchristiantalk. You can help us out for as low as $1 a month. $5 a month will get you our bonus episodes. Today we're going to be talking about our throwback album of the week, and I'm not sure what it is yet. It's going to be an audio adrenaline album, though.
Okay. That works.
Okay. We just did Until My Heart Caves In on the last one, and I believe that we did Underdog in fall when it turned 20, so that rules out those two.
Okay, so there's other ones.
But stay tuned in this episode, and we will announce that. And we'll also be giving our picks for current music of the week, and you know, who knows what else. Yeah, so audio adrenaline.
I wince every time I say the word.
What?
Underdog. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. All right. So, we're going to just go. What we're going to be doing today, we're kind of structured this. We're going to go from the earliest album all the way to the last album. And we're going to give some of our thoughts and some of our first opinions, first thoughts when we think about it. Maybe give a song or two off of each one that's our favorites, and then we're just going to go all the way to the end, and then we're going to give our favorite albums, our top five albums,
mm-hmm.
and then we're going to give our top five songs, and we're even going to pick our favorite audio adrenaline music video.
Yes, of course. We got to have the music video.
Yes. So, might as well just start off at the beginning. For those that don't know, audio adrenaline was kind of born from a Bible college in Kentucky. And they were kind of one of those garage bands that turned into something bigger. And Forefront Records took notice of them. And the band that they kind of took notice of wasn't really the band that the band themselves took seriously. But regardless, if you kind of listened to the interview before, which, by the way, if you haven't listened to the episode before with Mark Stewart, hit pause on this one, go back and listen to that one, and then come back. But anyway, Forefront Records kind of wanted them to be the kind of the grungier DC Talk, and I'm not real sure what they were thinking. But anyway, that takes us to the debut album, the self-titled album. It came out on April 17th, 1992. It was produced by Steve Griffith. The band wrote all of the songs on this album. Jesus Freak Hideout gave it 3 stars. Might be a little kind. There were some... I don't know if there's not a whole lot of highlights on this album.
This album,
what say you?
Came out when I was 2 years old. So this is one I'm honestly not as familiar with. My older self went back and I've listened to One Step Hyper. I know I've mentioned that one a few times.
Yeah.
DC-10, of course, which they remade later on, but the original version is on this song, on this album. But like you said, it's even admitted by the band, probably not their favorite album.
I'd say probably their least favorite.
But, I mean, it's always interesting to go back and listen to the beginning, where it all began, and see kind of what they were doing. But,
yeah,
I mean, it's worth a listen, at least.
Yeah, I think My God was actually the song that got them signed.
Okay.
And that's on this album, and it's really bad.
Well,
I don't know. I know that was kind of a different time. It's really hard for me to pick a favorite on this. I would say PDA would probably be my favorite. They made a music video with that. That's a stretch because there's not a whole lot on this album that I liked. Growing up, I don't really even remember. I mean, I remember seeing like the album cover. But aside from that, I don't really remember a whole lot from them.
I agree with that.
I don't think I saw them live until the next album.
Yeah, I think that this one was... They really didn't hit it until probably their third album. So this one kind of fell away.
All right. On to the next one.
Yes.
I think we spent enough time on that. The next one is an album called Don't Censor Me. It came out on October 1st, 1993. And if I get some of these dates wrong, blame the internet. Sorry. producer Steve Griffith and the Goatee Brothers did a couple songs.
Huh.
A couple people that were involved with this album, Todd Collins, Toby helped write one of the songs. Jesus Freak Hideout gave it 3.5 stars, which is a half star better than their first album. I think that 3 stars on the first album was a little too high.
Well,
I think 3 stars for this might even be too high, but
that was that's just of course.
But there's songs on here that I like, so it's
and it's cool to see. There's Kevin Max is a guest on one of the songs on this album, and of course,
My Worldview.
15 years later. He grabbed the microphone
right.
And took over the reins. So that's kind of cool to see that they were intertwined at a very beginning.
I think My Worldview, speaking of that song, was one of their most underrated songs in their entire catalog.
Oh.
I thought it was a really good song. But a couple other songs that, you know, were a band, of course, was a favorite song that
it kind of ended up becoming the test of time too.
Yeah, it was one of the best moments in their live show, even at the end. Of course, Big House. I really liked Can't Take God Away too. They did a music video for Big House and AKA Public School, and the music video for AKA Public School featured a band named DC Talk.
Yeah.
A couple other things notable with this. This was kind of when they started touring with DC Talk on the Free at Last tour. And they kind of, this was kind of, you know, Big House was their breakthrough hit. So
did you mention Don't Censor Me? I like that song.
I did not. It's not really one of my favorites.
I enjoy that song, but yeah, We're a Band is one of those, I wouldn't say under the radar, but it's one of those where if you're an Audio A fan, you know that song. And Big House put them on the map.
Yeah.
So this is where they kind of started gaining their momentum.
And I will also say Rest Easy, like it's a kind of a deep cut on this and kind of gets lost, but that's another one that I kind of go back to when I listen to this one. which isn't very often compared to the other ones, but still, it was a tremendous step after the first album.
Yes.
Yeah. I think this is probably the first time I saw them live, and I remember seeing them at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon at a festival, and I remember them playing We're a Band, and I'm like, okay, they might have a shot. My like 8-year-old self was like, okay, this might work.
Yeah, your analytical self.
Yeah. Yeah. So you got any other outtakes for this?
No, I do not.
All right. We'll probably get more in depth when we actually like the albums.
When I'm older, yeah. Like I said, I was 2 when the first one came out. I was probably when that one, last one came out, 94.
Yes.
So I was 5.
All right. So before we head into their next full-length album, it's worth noting they had a live album after Don't Censor Me. It was called Live Bootleg. It came out October 10th, 1995. Jesus Freak Hideout rated it about 2.5 stars. And, you know, it kind of lived up to the name of bootleg. It wasn't really the best quality sounding live album. And I think that may have been by design. I don't know. But it's there. I don't know if you can, like, get on Spotify and listen to it. You might have to get on YouTube or something. But it's out there, and it's kind of a fun... I think when you listen to the Mark Stewart interview, they kind of talked about how their live show was one of the reasons why people liked them, but was still kind of... They were still kind of rough around the edges at that point, you know. So, that takes us to the next full-length album, where they really began to bloom.
Oh, okay. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah, the next full-length album is called Bloom. It came out February 20th, 1996. This album went gold, which is a tremendous
accomplishment.
500,000 units were sold. Jesus Freak Hideout rated at 4.5 stars, which is pretty high.
That's a good amount.
Yeah. A couple people that were involved with this, John Hampton. If you listen to the Mark Stewart interview, he produced that album in Memphis, Tennessee, and then the Goatee Brothers did a couple songs as well. A couple people that were involved with this: Todd Collins, once again, John Painter, who engineered some of the songs. Jason Halbert played on some of the songs, and a guy, you might have heard of him. Eddie DeGarmo played keyboard on this album.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, I don't know if he played on every song, but that's what the album credits said. This album is one of my favorites for me. I won't give that away yet, but this was the album for me where I was like, all right, this is good.
This put them into headline status for Christian music.
Kind of. I mean, this showed that, you know, with Big House, I think they were looking to take the next step and kind of prove that they weren't a one-hit wonder.
Yes.
And this album proved that they were not. Never Gonna Be As Big As Jesus was a huge hit for them. They did a really cool music video for that. You know, there's so many good songs on this album.
I mean, Secret, Good People, yeah. I'm Not the King, Walk on Water. Yeah. They did a cover of Free Ride, Man of God. I mean, this album is loaded with great songs.
Yeah. The one question I wish I would have asked Mark was why they recorded I Hear Jesus Calling the way they did. Because if you go back and listen to it, it sounds like it was recorded on like a little cheap recorder.
Potato?
Yeah. Hmm. And I really like that song. You know, there's a lot of deep cuts on this. Bag Lady, Walk on Water, Good People.
I Hear Jesus Calling.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many good songs on this album. Never Gonna Be As Big As Jesus is probably my favorite. I really liked I'm Not the King. I think that was one of their one of their tracks where they were like, okay, we can really bring the guitars in. Man of God was one of their most underrated songs.
I think Secret is one of their most underrated songs as well.
Yeah, I mean, that song kind of... Secret kind of laid the foundation for the next album because that was like one of their grungiest songs at that point. I remember our uncle, we listened to that we put the cassette in his car and he turned it off because of that song. He didn't like it.
Oh, so you hate to see it.
It was too much, I guess. All right. That takes us to the next. It's worth noting before we head into this next one. Audio Adrenaline on this Bloom album. Once again, they were touring with DC Talk with this album on a little tour known as the Jesus Freak Tour. So
I've heard of that.
You know, that may have had something to do with the gold album success, but I mean, I'd like to think that you know, that exposure definitely helped, but this album was worth buying for sure. All right, that takes us to the next album, Some Kind of Zombie. November 18th, 1997 was when it was released. Jesus Freak Hideout gave it 3.5 stars. Wow.
Not as good as Bloom.
Kind of low, if you ask me. John Hampton produced this one as well. This is the first album that Tyler Burkham played on.
Oh, yeah.
Barry Blair was featured in the title track, Some Kind of Zombie, but he decided to come off the road after Bloom. Maybe he just got tired of touring with DC Talk for 20 years. But
yeah, it's probably what it was.
But
is this Bob Herdman's last album?
No.
Okay. I knew
I would have said if it was.
I'm
taking great notes.
Asking
and you're just
questions here. Gosh. Okay. I'm just trying to keep... I know you're the history major. Yeah. I'm just trying to ride along.
Yeah,
here.
Tyler Burkham, when he took over, I think he was like 17.
Yeah, he was just a wee lad.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's a lot of really good tracks on this. There's not really a bad one. You know, the title track for me is really one of my favorite songs of all time. Chevette, you know, Mark went into detail on our podcast of that's one of his personal favorites.
Yeah.
And
Original Species. Original. I can't do it.
I'm an Original Species.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. And Blitz.
Ooh. Blitz was
when Supertones was in the upper echelon music, this song slapped.
Yeah. Yeah. And this was the first album that they actually toured as a headliner.
Yes.
And the Supertones actually was the band that supported them. That was a heck of a tour.
Man, the 90s was a great time.
Yeah, it was really a good time.
They have Lighthouse, God-Shaped Hole, Super Friend.
Kind of one of the interesting details, Flicker was a track on this album that they actually ended up naming their record label after.
Ah.
Flicker Records.
Yeah.
So
there you go. I
which
did not
bands
know that.
Like Pillar and
other bands, you
New
know.
New Kids on the Way. What is that? What was that band called?
Kids in the Way?
Kids
not
in
new
the Way.
Kids on
new,
the, okay.
New Kids on the Block or whatever.
Yeah.
Gosh. There's a lot of great track. Flatfoot 56 was on that label.
Okay.
There was a lot of really good bands on that label.
This is something that Gabe knows way more than me because when he had his collection set up, he not only had them alphabetically, but he had them by record label separated in his library.
I was a nerd.
Yeah, you still are.
Yeah. Yeah, so Some Kind of Zombie, there was kind of going back. I failed to mention that there were music videos on the album Bloom for Never Gonna Be As Big as Jesus and Free Ride. And for Zombie, there was only one music video for this one, and it was for the title track, Some Kind of Zombie. So, heading into the next one, Underdog. It just turned 20 years old last fall, September 14th, 1999. Jesus Freak Hideout gave it 4.5 stars. It was produced by Audio Adrenaline. There was a couple tracks done by Charlie Peacock and Todd Collins. Todd Collins also played on it. I think Charlie Peacock played on it a little bit. And it was mixed by, how about this, David Leonard, who went on to play with No Hope Collective and later All Sons and Daughters.
Okay.
Yeah. So how about that? Yeah, this album is a lot of people's favorites, and it's easy to see why. This album was kind of their, when they really started headlining festivals and headlining, you know, major tours. There's so many good tracks on this. Music videos for this, Get Down, Hands and Feet. There's so many good tracks. Mighty Good Leader, the title track, Underdog. They covered Let My Love Open the Door. They went back and did DC-10 off the debut album. And this version is a million thousand times better.
This...
It Is Well With My Soul with Jennifer Knapp. So many good songs on this album.
This is probably when I started to appreciate the slow songs, if that makes sense. Because, I mean, I was a grown-up by then at the age of 10. So, before, of course, when you're a kid, you're like, okay, just skip this slow song. And it is like, but I remember Good Life. I remember It As Well. So, those songs jumped out to me. Hands and Feet, that song jumped out to me.
Yeah.
And, of course, then I started going back and listening to older songs that they would sing that were kind of their worship songs. And, but I don't know why it, because they always did it, but this album was the one that said, not only can we come at you with Mighty Good Leader, we can do Underdog, we can do Get Down, but we can also do Good Life. And the cover of Let My Love Open the Door.
Yeah.
So they did some of the better covers in that I've ever heard.
One of my favorite moments of Audio Adrenaline live, they came out in 2000 at Creation Festival and opened the show with Let My Love Open the Door, and Larry Norman came out and sang with them. That was awesome.
That was cool.
You know, Hands and Feet obviously was a very big moment in their careers, and that song went on to become so much more than just a song. And so, I mean, that song is a pretty significant legacy, and it might end up being, I mean, out of all the songs, that song probably leaves the biggest legacy because of what that represents now in Haiti. And that's definitely worth mentioning.
Well, and then, I mean, the It's Over song that made me speculate, was this it for them?
Well, I'm about to go into that.
Okay. And then, of course, the most important song on this album, the Houseplant song.
Yeah.
Which,
right, which you'll hear at the end of every podcast.
Yeah, if you ever wonder where that little blurb comes from, don't forget to tip your waiters and waitresses. It's from the Houseplant song from Audio Adrenaline.
So, yeah, there was a lot of speculation with that song, It's Over. People don't remember this because...
It wasn't over.
In 2001, they released a greatest hits album.
The Hit Parade.
Called The Hit Parade. And this was the same kind of time when the Newsboys released Shine the Hits. They released Shine the Hits on October 24th, 2000. DC Talk released Intermission the next month, November 21st, 2000. And then a couple months later, Audio Adrenaline released Hit Parade, March 13th, 2001.
That was like the end of an era is what that felt like.
It really did feel like that.
It's the end of the 90s.
You know, when DC Talk announced that they were going to take a break or whatever they'd said, when Audio Adrenaline had the song called It's Over and then they put out a greatest hits album, people were like, what's going on here?
Yeah, it's so...
But then there were new songs on that album called Will Not Fade and One Like You, so... And those were really good songs, so...
I like Will Not Fade. I like that song a lot.
Yeah, those were really good, but Don't Fear, because only 6 months later, 8 months later, they would release another album, and it would be called Lift, and Jesus Freak Hideout would rate this album 5 stars.
Really?
Yes. The highest rating for any Audio Adrenaline album, according to Jesus Freak Hideout. This album also went gold. So this is the second album that went gold, according to the internet. So you mentioned Bob Herdman being off the road. He left the road around the time of that Hits Parade. I think he came off the I think he came off the road in between the release of Underdog and Hit Parade, but this was the first album where if you open up the album art, he's not a member of the band, and this is actually the first album as well that guitarist Tyler Burkham begins to kind of take over the vocals.
Yeah,
so
I remember
that also began some speculation, like what's going on here.
Well, there of course is not very much Christian media. So
right.
Things like Mark Stewart's voice is a rumor. Is his voice okay? I heard he lost his voice at this concert. Stuff like that. So we didn't know at this point, but we knew there was probably something.
Sure.
And of course you're gonna speculate and try to read all the backstories and stuff, but that didn't exist for Christian music. It still doesn't to a large part. But so that's, yeah, I even remember you telling me that this guy singing now on this part, he might be the lead singer eventually, and he might take over the band entirely.
A lot of people were speculating
Mark Stewart
already.
Cannot continue.
Yeah, this album was produced by Audio Adrenaline. There was 2 music videos from this album. One for their mega hit Ocean Floor, which ended up maybe eclipsing Big House, depending on who you talk to. Rejoice was the other one, which is an interesting music video. If you go on YouTube, you can find it. They like interview random people and ask them why they're rejoicing, and they're just like,
"I remember
what makes you think I'm rejoicing?"
Yeah.
It's pretty funny. But
and You Still Amaze Me was a great song.
Great song. They opened up the tour. They actually did not have a Lift tour. They actually began the festival Con Dios around that time, and I think they toured with the Newsboys around that time. And like you said, it was kind of a transition to more softer stuff. This album for me is their most underrated album. Because of their deep cuts on this. And I know Lift was their title track, but it kind of gets lost. I really like that. Tremble, for me, was one of my absolute go-to songs
to listen to. I wish Nathaniel was here, because as we talked about last week, this was his band growing up.
Yeah.
But Nathaniel is the absolute king of finding a track like Lift, the last song on an album, or the 10th song out of 11, where I might get tired of listening to an album and I'll turn it off. Nathaniel's like, no, you got to go listen to this song.
Right.
Song number 8 on the album. It's the best one. And Nathaniel's the king of finding that song.
Yeah. And this, that might be a generational thing where someone from a younger generation might not understand, but
yeah, because there's no such thing as album that. There's singles now, but I mean, there's albums, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, there are so many good tracks on this. Speak to Me, Glory. I mean, there's not a bad track on this one either. So that takes us to Worldwide, February 25th, 2003. Jesus Freak Hideout gave it 4 stars. It was produced by Jason Burkham. Which I don't remember this, but I don't know. I have no idea. I looked him up online. I think he produced an album, and I don't know who it was, but it was somebody on Flickr Records. I have no idea if he's related to Tyler. I would assume so.
There's a chance. I don't know very many Burkhams in the world.
Right. Charlie Peacock produced a song or two, and he actually helped. I think he actually wrote 2 songs, too, or at least co-wrote some of the songs. A lot of good tracks on here. This album, I don't know why, but it just It did not. It kind of got lost for me, and I don't know why. It was probably just the season of life that I was going through at the time. But I wouldn't say this album's forgettable because there's a lot of good tracks on here. Leaving 99 is one of my favorites. I really like
Worldwide 1 and 2.
Yeah, I mean there's good tracks on here. It's not a bad album. It won the Grammy Award for the Gospel Rock Album of the Year back when I don't even know if they give that out anymore. But I don't know why, but it just I don't know why. It just didn't.
And the Ocean Floor hit. Radio remix is on here as well.
Yeah, the K-Love remix, pretty much.
But I mean, not as good as the original, but right. Still.
They took all the good drum parts out of the bridge. That's why I couldn't stand it.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I remember listening to Pierced a lot. I remember listening to Pour Your Love Down. Overall, it just didn't hit as well as maybe Lift or Zombie, or I don't know why, but that's just, what say you?
I remember when they put this album out, I remember thinking, oh, are they are still putting out albums.
Yeah.
And there was a line in Worldwide where I think is this the one where it says it's been 12 years, the bus is still running.
Yep.
And we'll do it 12 more years. Like, so I remember thinking, okay, they might not be done for a while. So it's interesting that I just remember that line specifically where, of course, there were all the rumors going around. Is this Audi Adrenaline's last album? Is it like, what's going to happen? And here they are. And
yeah. And I remember very vividly them playing live. And I remember coming out with shirts that they pre-made for every show. Every shirt was specially made for the show that they were playing, and this was the tour that they brought the car on stage, and it was they had a really great live show. But I remember this era being really fun as well.
This is where they did the backstage passes, where you could go backstage and meet them before or after the show. Of course, we saw them at Hershey Park.
Yes.
And there was a lot of people there, and they stayed and shook everybody's hand that had a backstage pass, and they signed autographs and all that stuff. I know this because I was at the end of the line. So that was awesome, and I got to do that with Nathaniel. That was a cool day.
Yeah, but unfortunately, all good things come to an end. Their last full-length album with Mark Stewart, Until My Heart Caves In, August 30th, 2005, Jesus Freak Hat Out gave it 4 stars. This album was also mixed by David Leonard from All Sons and Daughters. It was produced by Jay Joyce and had also some involvement with Brent Milligan, who has done so much. There's so many good tracks on this one. This album also won the Grammy for Rock Gospel Album. So not a bad way to end your career, winning 2 Grammys on your last 2 full-length albums.
I know, and this was another one where Until My Heart Caves In, I'm like, okay, maybe they're not going away.
Yeah. So this one, I think why this one resonates for me, I mean, I there's a lot of, you know, King and was their big hit from this one, Until My Heart Caves In. Clap Your Hands was a really fun live song, but there's so many deep cuts on this, like Undefeated and Melody and
Starting Over,
Losing Control. I mean,
Starting Over might be the best song on this album.
Yeah, so I, you know, this album for me was a great way to end their career. And if you haven't read Mark Stewart's book, I mean, there's a reason why Losing Control was the last song on this album, and you need to go check that out. That's their full-length album. Before we head off into the sunset on this part, it's worth noting that they put out another, I don't know why they did this, but they probably had some contract thing where they had to release 2 more albums. So they released a greatest hits album called Adios, and it was released on August the 1st, 2006. It had a new song called Goodbye, which I still can't listen to. Blaze of Glory, which was a cover. They had, that's on there as well. And then, of course, on April 28th, 2007, they recorded their final concert in Hawaii, and they released that for everyone to listen to on August 28th, 2007.
That's so long.
It's hard to believe that was it'll be 13 years this year since their last show.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's kids that are about to go into high school that were born after Audio Gentlemen.
Yeah. All right. So that's their catalog. We've spent the last, 20-25 minutes talking about that. Let's talk about our favorite albums and our favorite songs. Which one do you want to do first, like albums or songs?
Well, I am not going to lie. You told me to bring 5 songs.
Okay.
But you also told me 30 minutes before the show started.
Yeah.
I had narrowed it down to like 12.
Okay.
And I might have to do some on-air live ranking systems.
So do you want me just to give my top 5? And then you can give your top 5?
No, because it's going to influence me. Okay. So the songs I've narrowed it down to... Leaving 99.
All right.
We're a Band. Good. Chevette.
Yeah.
Ocean Floor. Mighty Good Leader. Never Gonna Be As Big As Jesus. Some Kind of Zombie. I'm Not the King. Lighthouse. You Still Amaze Me. Blitz. And Super Friend. Which, how many was that?
I didn't count that.
I didn't either. Okay, so.
More than 5.
Way more than 5. All right, so. At number 5.
All right.
It's going to be. All right, you go. You go. You go.
All right. My number 5 song is kind of the biggest deep cut on my top 5. It's a song called Man of God from Bloom.
Okay.
This song for me was like the... This song was Barry Blair in a nutshell. Barry Blair was the first guitar player, and... This was like one of their slower songs on that album, but it was just so good, and it resonates with me still today. It's so good. Just kind of talking about, it's kind of like a precursor to What If I Stumble, that DC Talk did. Some may see me as a man of God, but I'm struggling.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's real too.
Yeah,
that's real. All right, so I'm gonna try to throw out my number 5 here. It's going to be I'm Not the King. That's the one I'm going with.
I almost picked that.
I love that song.
Yeah,
and I remember, of course, on the old Pioneers back in the day, blasting that song on Sunday morning.
Yeah,
so that's a good memory for me as well.
Yeah. All right, number 4 for me is a song called Mighty Good Leader.
Ooh, that was on my list of 12 or whatever.
I think this was my favorite song they did live. I don't know why.
Really?
But, like, a lot of times they would open the show with that, and that just started it with an energy. Everybody sang every word to the song.
They started with that little blurb with the...
Yep.
Yeah, I can't...
And I don't know why, but this song for me, like... When I think of seeing Audio Adrenaline live, I mean, there's so many good songs that they did live. Big House, We're a Band. But this song for me is what sticks out. And it's just a fun song about, you know, God being, you know, Jesus being a kind of like a superhero kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like the perfect lead into the Underdog album. Yeah, I don't know why, but this song for me, it was just one of my favorite live moments. And it's my number 4 song.
Okay. That song may come up again.
All right.
I'm not sure. But here at number 4, Chevette.
Okay.
We had a Chevette. I mean, our dad had a Chevette.
Yeah.
So this was a song that I kind of connected with.
Yeah.
And I didn't fully understand at first, but there's, of course, the metaphor of his dad being a preacher and driving on the narrow road.
Yeah.
And not only did that mean like a narrow road in the back hills of West Virginia, but also the narrow road, the straight, narrow path, trying to live the good life.
Yeah.
So it made more sense to me as I got older, but also at the same time, this is a bop, as the kids would say. So I liked it.
Chevette's in my number three.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, obviously the relatable thing, we had a Chevette growing up. You know, Mark Stewart, you know, kind of a fun little thing that I link to him is Mark Stewart didn't grow up too far away from us. He just grew up south of us in Kentucky in the same mountain range that we're in, driving through, you know, I can relate driving through the Appalachian Mountains in a Chevette.
Like, yeah, exactly.
I mean, that makes sense to me. And just,
we had seatbelts in ours, though. I don't know if he did.
Yeah, I don't remember if we did either, but anyway, I remember there was definitely no AC in it, and there were some times that we had to get out and push it up the hill. But yeah, I just really liked the storytelling aspect of the song. It was so easy to relate to. There were so many aspects of this song that, like, I knew looking around me, like, our family was not, we didn't have as much money as this family over here, but we still had it really good.
Exactly. And that's what
our riches weren't measured in wealth, money. Yeah.
And again, that makes more and more sense to me as I get older.
Right.
Just completely from a musical standpoint, that bass line that comes right in with the guitar riff that comes over top of it is iconic.
Yep.
That's another song I just remember live, just booming over the stereo.
All right, your number three.
My number three. All right, so what were my last two? Do you remember?
You got to be kidding me.
Whatever. Okay, rewind if you want to hear my last two.
The Chevette and
I had I'm Not the King. Okay.
I'm Not the King, right.
So
we're really good at this.
I'm great at not being great. So I'm going to get rid of a couple of these. Super Friend, I love that song, but it's not going to make my top five. Blitz, I consider that a great song, but I'm not going to count it as an Audio Adrenaline song. Some Kind of Zombie, great. Taking it off the list, though.
Wow.
And it's not because it's not one of my favorite songs ever. It's probably number six on my list, to be quite honest.
Honorable mention.
Yeah, honorable mention. Okay. We're down to, I have three songs to fit nine. Okay. You Still Amaze Me, coming off the list.
All right.
You hate to see it go. I mean, these are like my children.
Yep.
So, it's gotta be. Oh, no. I'm down. It's either gonna be Leaving 99 or Lighthouse. Mm. I've gotta put Leaving 99 in there.
Okay. That's an honorable mention for me.
Lighthouse is gonna have to fall to one of my honorable mentions.
Okay.
Which is funny because I have probably listened to that song more than any other Audio Adrenaline song.
Hmm.
And interesting. Hi, Ryan. We're in 13 Palm Trees Podcast Studios, by the way. Ryan Wilfong's here.
Okay.
And he's fantastic. But Leaving 99, I remember specifically Will McGinnis whipping out his Bible on stage.
Oh, yeah.
And reading that story. And this is one of the first songs that I can relate to where I can say, okay, now I understand that story.
Yeah.
This song brought it to life.
Yeah.
I know Sun Stand Still by Bleach is probably another one.
Yeah.
That you, of course, one of the things about growing up in church is you hear the same story
a thousand
times. And it doesn't quite
it
hit.
It just goes in one ear and out the other.
Yeah. So this song, Leaving 99, brought this story to life for me, and it made me kind of grasp, okay, this is what is actually happening here, and I'll always remember that. I'll remember, was it his kid that ran the Bible out on stage to him and handed him the Bible, and I thought, man, that's so cool that kid's out there on stage handing him the Bible.
Yeah.
But Yeah.
Yeah. So number two for me, never going to be as big as Jesus. Again, Barry Blair, my goodness on this song. I mean, I absolutely listened to that bridge. I had the cassette and I wore it out so much just listening to the bridge of that song. Like, that song made me want to play guitar. And such a catchy hook on that song. And, you know, I just thought it was really creative that the verses, just all the things that they can do. But there's one thing you can't do, and that's never going to be as big as Jesus. And it, you know, might be a little bit cheesy, but...
it was catchy, though.
It was really catchy. I still can't get it out of my head today. So
this is our number two song?
Number two.
Because I still have Never Going to Be as Big as Jesus on my list.
Oh.
And I want... all right, so cheating. Putting Never Going to Be as Big as Jesus at number three on my list. Bumping I'm Not the King off the end of the list.
Oh my goodness.
I told you, you gave me 30 minutes to look at this, and I've been just in an absolute crisis over this. So number two, Never Going to Be as Big, well, number three, Never Going to Be as Big as Jesus. Number two, We're a Band.
Okay.
And that song live was insane.
Yeah. It was.
And just like your Mighty Good Leader song, I actually had to choose between Mighty Good Leader and We're a Band, because both of those songs, like you said, if you went to a show for Audio Adrenaline, you wanted to see We're a Band.
Yes.
You wanted to see Mighty Good Leader. Of course, there's all the other songs you wanted to see, but I wouldn't necessarily call them in-between songs, but... Most concerts, they come out, they hit you hard, yeah. They hit you fast.
They take it back a little bit.
There's a lull. And then they play a big song, and then they come out for their encore. Well, Audio Adrenaline, they'd hit you hard, they'd hit you fast, and then they'd hit you hard, and they'd hit you fast, and they'd do it over and over again. And yeah. Even their slower songs, like...
Ocean Floor.
Yeah, exactly. That song hit just as hard. Yep. Leaving 99 hit just as hard.
Yep.
And so We're a Band. Just absolutely yeah. Phenomenal
that song,
which does not translate. If you go listen to the recorded version right now, you're going to think, really? Really? But that song, I would liken this to Switchfoot, yeah. Where they have The War Inside.
Yeah.
That song... is probably in my top five Switchfoot songs of all time, but not the recorded version.
That song took on a life of its own on the live show. I mean, there's no way to describe it if you haven't seen them, or if you hadn't seen
there's
them.
Video out there of their farewell tour.
Yeah, they recorded it.
With
yeah.
T-Bone
right.
on that song, and that song was like 10 minutes long.
Yeah.
It's probably a 2.5-minute song recorded, but it was yep. nuts. And that's where, I mean, if you listen to last week, Mark Stewart talked about bringing the pyro, yeah. bringing all the lights, just everything. And that's,
yep.
that was probably, I mean, probably one of his favorite songs. I know he mentioned in an interview probably, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, that was his favorite song to play.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was always his favorite song to play, but gosh, We're a Band.
Yeah. All right. Number one, favorite song, Some Kind of Zombie.
Ooh.
Yes. This song for me, it was so much different than anything that was going on in my catalog. You know, I still hadn't really expanded to like the Tooth and Nail. Like, I hadn't gone there yet. And I was beginning to get there around this time. And this album with the Supertones was kind of almost like the bridge to that. But this song for me just hit so hard. It had so many different kind of aspects in it. It was hard. It was grungy.
And even the remix version that they put out was fantastic yeah. as well.
But yeah, I mean, it's an amazing story of like, and it's, you know, they're kind of like before their time with this. I mean, before the zombie craze kind of hit.
It's Audio Adrenaline's fault, really.
And, you know, I kind of told him in the interview, I actually got lunch detention because of the song.
Yeah.
Because, anyway. Yeah, but yeah, it's a perfect story. Dead to sin, alive in Christ, some kind of zombie. And I just thought that was so creative, and that's my favorite Audio Adrenaline song.
And you know what? It is probably actually in my top five favorite songs. But like I
said,
I mentioned it in my top 12. Right. Some kind of zombie is. I remember going to the music store to get this album when it came out on whatever day it came out. We had to be there as soon as that day happened.
Yep.
And we went into Christian music store, whatever, and got
paid $25 for
whatever it was. Yeah, it was nuts. But I remember popping that in, and this was what, the third song on the album?
Yep.
And I don't remember where it was, but I just remember this song jumped right out at you. So some kind of zombie, absolutely fantastic. You
know, and there's, like I said, there are so many honorable mentions. Ocean Floor.
It's interesting that you mentioned that as your honorable mention.
I mean, there's so many good honorable mentions.
Yeah.
I'm not slighting any of those songs. It's just they didn't make my top five.
It is so hard to do. Yeah. Narrow it down to five songs.
Before we head into our top five albums, let's pick our favorite music video real quick.
I didn't name my number one.
Oh. Sorry. Go ahead.
It's okay. I
was anxious.
I will forgive you, and I will cast your sins deep into the ocean.
You were trying to segue, and I didn't even catch it.
Yes. I tried a few times, but Ocean Floor is, and this is not the radio version, the original version.
The one with the drums.
But the picture that they paint in this song about... It, of course, this is in probably my middle school years, early high school.
2001.
So this is middle school for me.
Yep.
This is when I'm starting to learn about stuff like the Marianas Trench, for example, that's 7 miles deep or whatever. So I just, and I remember this music video as well, where they're throwing stuff out into the ocean.
Right.
And just the thought of... I mean, what's the biggest thing you can think of? Of course, there's outer space and all this different stuff, but the thing that you see, that you can actually see, and you look out into it,
you
can't see the end of it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've been to the ocean a few times. I'm not going to say I'm a fan of the beach. I hate sand. Yeah. I hate hot weather. I hate people. Just kidding. Love you guys. But just this is another thing, like Leaving 99, the visual that they painted, your sins are erased. And they are no more. They're out on the ocean floor. It's just, they're gone. If you go to the beach and you're wearing a watch or you have your phone in your pocket and you lose your phone in the waves, you're not finding that. It's gone. I mean, that's probably a sad example. If you have a high tide and you lose your little sand bucket, it's gone.
Yeah.
And so I wish I could explain it better. Go listen to the song. It paints the perfect picture of God's grace is just as vast as the ocean and outer space, and it can encompass anything that you've ever done.
Yeah. And there's a fun story in Mark Stewart's book about they played that song at the Dove Awards, and there was a lot of uncertainty because of his voice going into that, and that's kind of when the whispers started to go around Nashville and the music industry. They played that song and they came off the stage and the first person that they saw was Bill Gaither. And Bill Gaither was like, that was a good song.
Wow.
Yeah. So music video, favorite music video. We'll do this real quick. Some Kind of Zombie for me was really close, but I think We're a Band might be my favorite one.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I remember the Some Kind of Zombie one where that girl was underwater.
Yep.
And I did not understand it at first. I did not. You had to explain it to me. But she was getting baptized. And when she came up out of the water at the end of the video.
New creation.
Yes. Never Gonna Be As Big As Jesus is my favorite.
Okay.
That's
good.
Him. I mean, it's like you said, it's just catchy. And I remember them walking around the city. I remember all the different little things, and they're just guys having fun, and they're out there literally. They can do anything they want to, except for one thing. But I don't know. That's what I remember about it.
AKA public school for me is like the honorable mention because of the DC Talk cameo. It's Ocean hilarious. Floor. You have to go watch it on YouTube.
Ocean Floor would be my honorable mention. And my honorable mention, I'm cheating on this one.
Okay.
Kings and Queens.
Oh, okay.
Which I know this didn't fall under the Mark Stewart era, but that might be my favorite music video from really Audio good. Adrenaline.
Well, he was in the video, so
I know.
There you
and
go.
Then just with all the kids and...
Yeah, that was really good.
Yes.
All right. And that might come up in our future episode with Kevin Max.
Interesting. Are we doing... Audio Adrenaline, Kevin Max?
We'll see. I really don't know yet. So,
if you're listening, everyone that's on the round table, you must vote.
All right. Top five albums. This might even be harder for me.
This might have been easier for me.
All right. Well, okay, so they only had eight. So
yes, I know.
I guess, maybe it is easier.
So, number five for me was really a decision between... Lift and probably Worldwide, but I chose Lift as my number five. I don't know. I did this one. I know it probably, you mentioned that it was probably one of your favorite. And was this the highest rated Jesus Freak?
Yeah, Hideout? Five stars.
So this was a good album, but I feel like this album came at a time in my life where I was listening to more Skillet and more Demon Hunter and more stuff like
2001?
That. Yeah.
Demon Hunter? Okay.
I mean, maybe not Demon, but definitely Skillet.
Yeah.
And so I feel like I had shifted gears just a little bit.
All right.
In my tastes. So maybe that's why this album didn't resonate as much.
POD and Blindside.
Okay. Yeah. There we go. There we go.
All right. Gotcha. Number five for me. I'm not going to go into too in depth with these because we've already talked about these albums, but number five, Until My Heart Caves In, their swan song, if you will, with Mark Stewart. I'm not going to talk too much about it. There's a lot of songs in here that resonate with me, as I said before. So
that is my number four, Until My Heart Caves In.
All right.
So we're kind of in the same wheelhouse right there. I like that album. That was like I said, that one was like a pleasant surprise. They put out an album, and you know what? It's still great.
Well, I flipped because Lift was number four for me.
Huh.
So
interesting.
So we kind of agree on their first two albums. They're just a little bit different.
It might go a little bit awry here.
Lift for me, like I said, I think that was their most underrated album, and their deep cuts on this are amazing. All right, number three.
Number three. Some Kind of Zombie.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I love Some Kind of Zombie, but you mentioned their deep cuts. I feel like their deep cuts didn't cut me as deep as they may have cut
on this album.
On this album.
Okay.
So they have two or three absolute greatest Audio Adrenaline songs of all time on this album. And then I don't know why the rest of the album was great as well, but just didn't hit me as hard as my top two albums.
Number three for me was Underdog.
Ooh.
And we talked about this in a bonus episode previous. I think what hurts Underdog for me, not that it's a bad album, it's just there was a couple covers on this. DC-10 was a kind of a cover. It As Well was a cover. Let My Love Open the Door. None of these songs were bad. It just, for me, and you know, Houseplant Song was kind of a skit kind of song, so it kind of,
don't you dare.
It just kind of, I mean, I'm just saying, as a full album, there's just two albums that I considered better. That's all.
Okay, fine, but don't you dare disparage the great name of the house.
I'm not, and I kind of just completely. I'll continue that later.
Underdog.
All right. What was your number two?
Two. Underdog.
All right.
So, this is almost their pop album. Like I wouldn't say pop, but they had,
compared to Zombie, it was
They had grunge, they had rock, they even had a little hip hop way back in the One Step Hyper days.
Yeah,
but this was like a groovy kind of feel to it, especially Underdog, and this is a deep album. This is, as far as songs go,
yeah,
there's probably 10 songs on this album that I know every word to,
yeah,
which is quite a feat because I don't remember anything.
I'd say that about almost all the songs on the top three.
Well,
for me,
yeah, Audio Adrenaline's pretty good at that, but like I said, I am not great at remembering things. I might know the chorus to every single song, but every single word, Underdog is up there for me.
All right. Number two for me, Bloom.
Ooh.
Yeah, this was hard for me because I really, this was the album that kind of I fell in love with Audio Adrenaline. So I almost picked this as number one, almost. But for me, what made this album so good was just it felt like they came out of their shell. And this was like, okay, I mean, like I said with the pun, they finally bloomed. And
if you could see my face right now.
Yeah, that's why I'm laughing.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think this kind of showed their potential. And I kind of wish that they would have done another album like this. It was really successful. And it was just, I don't know, it just felt like they breathed a sigh of relief after this because they were like, this is what we've always wanted to do. This is like, and John Hampton, who produced this album, did such a good job of getting their full potential out. And they kind of, and Mark Stewart kind of talks in the book about leaving Nashville and getting out of that, you know, that circle that you can kind of get lost in almost. And they just did whatever they wanted to do. And that was what the result was, Bloom.
This album, Bloom.
Yeah.
My number one.
All right.
And it, for all the reasons you mentioned, and for some reason to me, this is the most Audio Adrenaline album that they ever released.
Okay.
I feel like if I think about Audio Adrenaline, I think about Never Gonna Be As Big As Jesus. I think about Bloom. I think about these songs that just feel like Audio Adrenaline. And not that not like Underdog doesn't feel like them or some kind of zombie, but I feel like this is Audio Adrenaline. Bloom is Audio Adrenaline. We pushed the envelope in this direction for Some Kind of Zombie. We pushed it in the other direction for Underdog. We're experimenting because, of course, musicians are always experimenting with their sound. But I feel like this is the baseline. Yeah. This is where they started. And this is their most complete album start to finish. Every song is great. And like you said, it proved what they could do. And it kind of gave them the leeway to do things that they wanted to try in later albums as well. Mm. So Bloom is my favorite Audio Adrenaline album. What
All right.
is yours?
Some Kind of Zombie.
I number one. Saw that coming.
Yeah, I think this album for me, you know, it's funny for me because Mark talks about in the interview about how that was kind of the most experimental album that they had for the band. So in that way, it was kind of like their Love Liberty Disco that the Newsboys did.
Yeah, and you love Liberty
Disco. I do love Liberty Disco.
Liberty Disco.
So, yeah, I think, you know, they did push the envelope. I don't know the full reason why. You know, Mark said, hey, they said, you got to put out an album in 4 months, and that was kind of the result of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was a lot going on with the band, Barry Blair coming off the road. And I agree with Mark. I think this album has held up really well over time. I think it sounds really good still today. And I think, which one do you want to talk about? Do you want to talk about Bloom or Zombie on the bonus episode? I'll let you pick.
Oh, man. We have a coin. Where's our coin?
All right. We have a coin. We're going to flip it.
One side is a mushroom, and one side says Super Mario Bros.
All right, since Bloom is kind of a plant, let's do the mushroom of Bloom. All right. And it's, what is it?
Super Mario Bros. Is what it landed on.
So it's going to be Some Kind of Zombie.
Some Kind of Zombie.
On the bonus episode, we're going to be talking about that more. I will share the story of me getting lunch detention.
Interesting.
So if you want to hear that, check that out exclusively on patreon.com/decentchristiantalk. And what say you? What do you think about our list, top five? Go to the Facebook page and give us your favorite list, your top five, if you will.
Feel free to trash talk Gabe's list because mine was definitely the better list.
We agreed with a lot. I don't know what you're talking about.
I know. I like to win.
And hey, give us your opinion. Do you like this format? Is this something you want to hear more of? We are going to be talking about Kevin Max on a future episode. He won the poll. Jars of Clay came in second, so we might do them on an even later episode.
Cool.
So we'll see about that.
And if you're listening, still listening to this, and you've never listened to Audio Adrenaline, go listen to Audio Adrenaline.
Go listen to them. That's the whole point of this.
So take Gabe's top five, take my top 12, and just go listen. I know it's hard to sit down and listen to an entire 8-album catalog, but hit some of the highlights that we highlighted.
Yeah.
Grab some of the songs that we did. Make yourself a little playlist.
Make your own list.
You just throw some Kevin Max Audio Adrenaline in there. Yeah. Maybe not Audio Adrenaline 3.0.
Yeah, let's not go there.
Well, but go sit down, listen to Audio Adrenaline some this week, and just, even if you have listened to it, go back. And just because I have recently gone back, yeah, and it's just amazed me because that's... They're one of my favorites. There's, of course, a little bit of a nostalgia factor.
Yeah.
But they're great. They're absolutely incredible.
All right. So before we head off into the sunset, you can check us out on Facebook, and you can give us your own top five list. We'll make our own post and on there and be looking for that, and you can give your own list on there. And be looking out for the next poll, because we're going to be throwing up another poll to see what you guys think of this format and who you would like us to talk about.
We are going to go talk about maybe some music of the week.
Yes, on our bonus episode.
We're going to talk about the album that we flipped the coin for, some kind of zombie. We might have a rant of the week.
Maybe.
We might have a little bit of talking about the greatest Christian rapper ever.
Nice.
There I said it. I said it. Maybe.
And who knows? Maybe we'll even give our thoughts on the Academy Awards.
Whew.
How about that?
Yeah, if you watched the Academy Awards.
I didn't, but I know who won. But anyway, Twitter, DC Talk Act 2, Instagram, DC Talk Podcast. You can check us out on there. We are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere you can listen to podcasts, we are there. If you like what you hear and you know another another person that likes Audio Adrenaline, share this with them and see if they like it and see if they have a list. Invite them to our group.
Yes.
Have fun.
Yes.
All right. Is there anything else?
Don't forget to tip your waiters and waitresses. Thanks.
Peace.
Don't forget to tip your waiters and waitresses. Thanks.